the most consistent aspect of Waite's broadcast across 20 or 30 years now. He's outlasted Jackson. He's out the only guy who's been here maybe a little longer than me, but the rest of them are all fallen by the wayside. Kenny, thanks, mate, for joining us. Tēnā koe.
Yeah, I remember in 1991, I think it was, when Willie was hosting Aotearoa Radio back in the day, starting out with him.
Yeah, wow.
And I remember bringing a young 16-year-old kid into the studio with me, because I think we were playing at Carlo Park that day up from Wellington. And I said to Willie, you need to shake hands with this bloke. I think he's going to do something special. And now Tana Umanga today is now the All Black coach, having played for the All Blacks and captain the All Blacks as well. So I remember that very first interview back in the 90s.
Yeah, you were responsible for nicking him from rugby league and putting him into rugby, didn't you? Because he was a leaguey.
He was a leaguey. Started off, yes, exactly. Well, 1992, he played on the wing for Wainuiomata in the Lion Red Cup final. They beat Northcote. But in the final, he was a 17-year-old, 16 or 17-year-old kid then. Very talented.
Yeah.
And then went on to play 70-odd tests or something.
And a good guy too. You've been amazing with the work that you've done. But I love the way you mentor guys and help them with their careers. The list is enormous, including myself. So thanks. Ken Laban is with us now. Mayor Ken. What's your nickname down in the lower hut, Mayor Ken?
Nightmare.
Nightmare. All righty. Good on you, mate. It was a 6 o'clock game yesterday. Once again, the magic round was just that, pretty magic. I was kind of hoping they might bring it to Auckland at some stage and, get a bit of tit-for-tat there, but seems not that it's secured for Brisbane, I think, through to 32. So 150,000 people through the gates, Ken, another celebration of the code and some wicked footy. What did you make of it again?
Yeah, fabulous. What was it, 148,661 or something? Just shy of 150,000. So that's on average 50,000 a day for 3 days, plus the women's State of Origin was on Thursday night as well, in front, I think, of 24,000 as well, in a standalone game. I read this morning in excess of $50 million economic impact. And apparently of those 150,000 fans, 40% were from either out of state or interstate and from New Zealand. My understanding is that there were 8,000 Warriors supporters who travelled over. I know that half of Wellington emptied out to attend, but a massive success. The hype and the other things that I hear, that the Warriors pop-up merchandise store did $100,000 a day Australian on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And that would have been the same for, I had whānau and that over there, and everybody was sending pictures back about, just enjoying the rugby league experience, the entertainment in between the games, the halftime shows that were put on so many games and keep people in the ground for so long. Is wonderful, and you can understand the Queensland government securing it for another 6 years to ensure that economic impact and benefits are there. And just another little thing, I don't know whether you picked up in the commentary yesterday, that the NRL did a deal with Westpac Bank in Brisbane for footballs. And essentially what it meant was every time a ball was kicked into the grandstand, you were allowed to keep it. And they went through, over the course of the 3 days, they went through 170 footballs, and they were celebrating at the end yesterday of what great fun it was for those kids, especially who took those balls home. Just little gestures like that, 170 balls in the context of the multi-million dollar thing is not a lot. But, once again, the kid that leaves with something special, and, who knows who might have kicked that ball into the... you imagine a kid if he's, kicked a ball that, Reece Walsh, he caught a ball that Reece Walsh kicked into the grandstand. It'd be a memory for life. Just those little community type things that they're able to build in and factor in. And the fact that they gave it as much publicity as they did yesterday is a real indication of how well and how much work has gone into promoting the event. It is absolutely one of the marquee events, you have to say, in world sport now, after only 7 years.
Yeah, look, their marketing now is impressive. We've acknowledged it before, and of course it's making other codes nervous. Meanwhile, back home here, rugby is struggling with numbers. They've appointed new gaffers to try and arrest the slide, if you will, or maybe not even a slide, just the growth in popularity of rugby league is undeniable. And rugby, you know, traditionally the go-to in NZ, are understandably nervous. The success of the top side, the All Blacks, is important, but it's what's happening on the ground that will concern rugby administrators. You've got a role here too as the Mayor of Hutt Valley, because sport's an important part of growth in community and stitches the fabric of community together. What are you reading into what the challenges ahead for our 15-man code?
Yeah, well, the real struggle, as you say, is at that grassroots. People are struggling with ground fees. People are struggling with club fees. The overall cost of everything is going up. And when you put the cost of participating in sport in the context of how expensive everything is, you can understand that there's a decline in ticket sales, and there's a decline in participation. And I think it's going to force us to review how we deliver community sport. And one of the alternative options, well, as you know, I've been going on about it now for a number of years, given how long I've been attending those Aotearoa Māori Rugby League tournaments. The way that we deliver sport, I think, needs to be reconsidered. You know, do we need club rooms? Do we need as many fields as we do? Can we create an opportunity where our volunteers are still standing close to the game with a 7-day working week and long hours? What suffers the most is weekend sport. And when I talk about weekend sport, that's coaches, managers, administrators. We need quality people to, you know, drive the fundraisers and drive all those extra stuff that we need to happen to generate income to make it easy for people to participate. I think that in as much as has had a major setback in New Zealand. Interesting too, I find that the poker machine legislation is much more supportive towards sporting organisations than we are here in New Zealand, where everybody is forced to go via a trust and take your chances with everybody else. And I've often thought that maybe that needs to be reviewed as well, so we can find ways for more support for grassroots. For grassroots sport and participation. And I think if we can address that, then we can probably address the imbalance in terms of what's happening at the elite level in terms of declining interest and declining crowds, and as a result, declining revenue, because it's completely going the opposite way in Australia. You know, the NRL is fantastic. The AFL is terrific. We've seen crowds in Australia from the A-League soccer, football on the weekends. They have huge participation in cricket and netball, and I can't help but think that they've created an environment financially that's more lucrative for sport than we have here.
Without doubt. Also, I want to acknowledge the Phoenix women making it through to the final. Sadly, you come into finals footy and things can go awry, and they found themselves 3-0 down, fought back to a 3-1 loss. But making the final is a credit to what has been happening in the capital. And, of course, Eden Park hosting the Auckland FC, Auckland Football Club, or AFC, in their final as well, coming up in a week or so's time. I'm curious to know, too, and because we have deemed Kapahaka to be sport, Ken, I can proudly tell you that Te Rangi Tawaia's Rōpū Angi 2 were successful in taking out first prize in the Tamaki Makaurau Kapahaka over the weekend. That's pretty neat.
Oh, fantastic. No, fantastic. Well, it's more than Kapahaka, isn't it? You know, it's a celebration of whakapapa, a celebration of history and tradition. And it's, you know, the designers and the architects of the competitions and the way that it's evolved over the last in recent decades. It's fantastic. So congratulations to that Rupu.
Tēnā koe. Do you know all of the words to any Māori songs?
Some of them.
Which one? Go on.
I think I go okay with some of the traditional songs, but I really need to be in a group.
You are in a group. The Nightmares. Get yourself a bass player. It's always cool having a yarn with you as well. Just finally, I see the Blues couldn't go over the weekend. Too tough, eh? And another strong performance from your locals.
Yes, exactly. That was a very interesting result. I think everybody expected a much better result from the Blues than what they showed on the weekend. But the Hurricanes, well, it's their competition to lose now, isn't it? The way that they've been playing in form as well. No Cam Roygaard as well. No Tyrell Lomax. And no Peter Luckey in the store. Or no Dublin. They still got the job done.
Tēnā koe, you're in a neat position as the Mayor of Lower Hutt, and bearing in mind the youthful population of our Polynesian people in the Hutt Valley. I hope that the ministers of sport take heed when they get an opportunity to talk with you, Ken, because you've been a wonderful advocate across time for sport and community. And I thank you for your contribution to our thinking as well for so many years now, since 1991, when you brought a young Tala Umanga into the studio. Tell Willie Jackson that he still owes you from those times, and you'd have 400 T-shirts if the world was good. Good catching up with you, Ken. Thanks, man.
Kia ora, bro.
Okay, brother. Have a good week.